You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
It's not a new topic. It's a topic that has been discussed often by myself and my colleague presenters on Cape Talk over the years. But how do you manage your children's access to smartphones? What is the best way of doing it? There are all sorts of reasons why a parent, particularly in a country which has as many safety issues as South Africa, would want their children to have the connectivity of a smartphone and various apps that can be installed on that smartphone and so on. And there have been discussions, of course, obviously, about the dangers, the other things that appear on a smartphone, and that tech-savvy, and most teenagers and most tweenies are tech-savvy these days, that they can access through that smartphone. I read on the Daily Maverick an article a couple of days ago, which made me want to revisit the topic. It was written by Ajit Gopalakrishnan, who is a father of two and the head of Odin Education, which is an EdTech digital learning system. On Zoom with us at the moment from India, where he finds himself. Ajit, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
You have two children, and no matter how much they plea and go on their knees and come up with convincing reasons, they ain't getting cell phones until they're at least 16.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be a bit hypocritical of me to know what I know and work in the industry that I do and still give them phones.
What is it that you know that makes you take that firm stand?
So, John, I think we are slowly understanding what, you know, the internet is, what these platforms are. And I think, you know, it's a matter of time before access to the internet will be restricted for youngsters, because it's really about who is getting access to your learner, to your child, rather than what access you are giving your child. So I really think, it's a matter of awareness. Predominantly, it's the business models of all of the platforms out there that are sort of diametrically opposed to what we as parents want for our children.
Please expand, because what are the dangers? I hear many arguments from people who work with children and work with technology and young people who say that it is possible, if you have frank and open discussions with your children about what can and can't be done, and you have agreements about what level of monitoring can and can't be done, then the pros of having smartphones outweigh the risks.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that. I think, of course, all of us try to build values within our children, and instill sort of guidance and ways in which that they will sort of engage with the world. The problem here is most children will not be aware of how they're being influenced while they're being influenced. Just like how you are not aware of how social media or extreme podcasts or left and right views are influencing you.
I am aware, which is why I'm not on social media, not at all.
Absolutely, John. So you've made that call. Now, when you give a child a smartphone, I believe that you haven't given them enough time to understand who and what are accessing them. There's a lot of literature on and a lot of sort of people talking about what we call the attention economy. So essentially, I think you'll agree with me, your phone's gone from being just a multifunction device to a distraction device. And that's really because of this attention economy. And what that is that all the companies on your phone are constantly trying to compete for your attention, to get you onto their platform and to keep you on their platform. This is the currency, and this is the business model that I'm talking about. Now, you are not aware of this most of the time that this is happening, which is why I show that example in the article where, most people are unaware of the amount of time they spend on their own phones. Now, if you then take that kind of, for want of a better word, manipulation, and then place that on a child younger than 16, what real chance are you giving them in terms of even knowing when they're being manipulated and drawn into platforms that are not necessarily...
You talk about an example in the article, which a lot of the people listening to us won't have read. And that's what we need, I think, to better understand where you're coming from, what the example is or the examples are that make you so determined that children under 16 shouldn't have access to a smartphone.
Yeah, so I think let me start with just a simple example of, what we as kids would always sort of be interested to find out more, and that's porn. And if I make the example in the article and maybe encourage your listeners to do this, is just, as adults, if you were to type in the word porn into your Google browser and click on the image search and just have a look at what pops up on your, just on your average Google browser, and then try and understand that, look, this is the kind of access that you're giving your child. Now, we've all been through those ages where it's about exploration. It's about trying to, see the new out there. And remember, all of these platforms are then also at the same time trying to compete for your child's click. And so if you do that, if you take that one example, John, and then you show if your child would simply just to type in the word porn and click on image search on their typical Google browser, without actually navigating to any of the sites, have a look at what access they have. And for yourself, determine if, have you given your child enough sort of moral guidance to be able to handle that kind of access?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not in any way downplaying the dangers that exist on the internet. But there are desktops, there are tablets in many people's homes. Obviously, the more money there is in a home, the more technological devices there are. And they're not only smartphones that give you access to the dangers of the internet. Sure. And there are positives, I think, as I mentioned in my introduction, particularly in a security risk country like South Africa. There are advantages to having your child having a phone with access to certain apps that relate to security, that relate to other positive educational development things. And is it not possible to manage the risks so that you get the benefits?
Sure. I think I'm in EdTech, and so I'm a firm believer on the positive impact technology can have. I just want to use the example you say around desktops and, tablets at home, for example. There was a significant transformation around engagement on the internet and sort of addiction to the internet when the smartphone came around. Because what it did was essentially, remove the physical location constraint of accessing the internet. So from being in a room, where your child accesses, where you have relatively some oversight of what's going on, what the smartphone did was then take that and put it in their pocket and literally take it wherever they go. Yeah. So that was the big change that happened. And in terms of apps and control, absolutely. In fact, this is really what I'm advocating for. However, I'm in the tech industry and I've seen, what's out there. And most of the mobile device management, this is what you term these sort of control devices or control applications. Most of them will limit certain app access, but they won't limit what happens within that access. So for example, you may limit a browser and, Google even has a kids version of the browser, but I'm convinced, especially from what I've seen, from what can be accessed on all of these tools, that there's really very little that we can do to prevent companies online from creating access paths or engaging your children. And that's, I think, the biggest, my aim in the article is to convince people that it's really about who's accessing your child and not what your child is accessing. Because most people think, okay, if I teach my child the I'll make sure that they don't access. But actually, you're pitting them up against some very powerful tech out there.
Yeah. You said earlier on in our chat, Ajit, that you felt certain that restrictions were coming on internet access for under 16s. What might those restrictions look like, or what would you like those restrictions to look like?
So honestly, I think access to the internet needs to be physically controlled and monitored and constrained around, like you say, the educational positive applications. But you can only do that meaningfully in an environment where there is also a physical control. Yeah. There is monitoring kind of while you're there. And we need to go from blacklisting to whitelisting. And the difference is simply, instead of deciding what is not allowed for access, we've got to decide what is allowed and really be careful around choosing what we allow as access and making sure that that's entirely positive and it's entirely educational focused, if that's the agenda. Yeah. In terms of restrictions coming, the reason I think that they're not implemented already, John, is because, as I mentioned, I think we'll only really see the impact of this unfettered access. I think we'll only see that in a few years to come. And I think when that really does happen is when suddenly we'll realize that, hey, maybe a few years ago we should have controlled this access a lot more.
Ajit, thank you very, very much for talking to us. Appreciate your inputs on this topic. Ajit Gopalakrishnan is the head of Odin Education and EdTech Digital Learning System and currently in Kerala State in India.